Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? Are you over your jet lag?
No, not over my jet lag. I'm not over the mountain of work I missed while I was away. I'm not over the fact that the rental car company, Avis, haven't got in touch with me regarding the almighty scratch I left in the back of their of their Malibu. Their it's not Chrysler, is it? What's the hell's a Malibu? Mustang? Is that a thing?
Maybach?
Mustang Malibu? Mustang? I don't know. Whoever makes a Malibu car, big, long, black thing it was, and just a little bit too long for my liking, because I'm used to a Fiat 500. And even though it had a rear camera, I managed to just give it a little scuff.
Oh.
And then I went to Walmart and found some some scratch begone. And I did improve the situation considerably, but I mean, still not enough for them to sort of, you know, not notice that I've fucked it.
Oh, no.
What an idiot.
How do you find driving on the other side of the road? Because usually we have American listeners who are like, I'm coming to Japan, I'm scared because they drive on the other side of the road.
Right, okay, yeah.
Well, how do you find driving on the American side?
I don't really have a problem because, like, just the roads are bigger, aren't they? And, like, everyone just drives.
That's
no
true.
One can drive. Everyone just drives aggressively. So just drive aggressively. You're fine. And they're turning right on a red. Why can't we turn right on a red? That's cool. I feel so naughty doing it. I love it.
How do American drivers compare to British drivers, do you feel, like, in your opinion?
Their cars are 10 times bigger and they are 10 times more aggressive.
Yes.
And they don't really seem to say thank you when you let them in and stuff. It's not really part of it, is it?
We are so polite, us Brits. We're not being scathing and sarcastic and horrible. Wonderful. Isn't that lovely? I'm still recovering. My legs are still a bit sore from the cycle. Even like a week or so
after. My legs are still like hard as bricks, but feeling a lot better now. I did actually lose, I think, like 2-3 kilograms on the cycle. So
Lordy.
It paid off on my fitness, as well as raising £500,000. I got fit. Yay! And now I'm gearing up for a another Spartan race in May. 20 obstacles, 5 kilometre run. Let's die. Let's go. Let's
do it. Do you get one of those? You see a lot of, on Instagram, you see a lot of the. You do specific amounts of running, and it's equivalent to the length of, I don't know, the Nile or something, and then you get a medal that has the Nile on it. And they're very intricate.
Yeah, they're called, I think they're called the Conqueror. Like the Conqueror Awards or something, right? Isn't it? And I'm really interested in working with these guys, actually, because I'm getting into fitness and whatnot. Surprisingly, what a plot twist! Who'd thought it? And I like the idea of, like, even though you can't necessarily climb Mount Fuji in real life, you can't fly here, whatever, for various reasons, and also you can only climb Mount Fuji 6 weeks of the year. You could do the equivalent of climb Mount Fuji by doing the same distance, and then you get a little badge, and that's kind of cool. Like, you could climb Mount Fuji from the fields of Essex.
Wandering around.
That'd be cool, right?
Yeah, wandering around. I don't
with
know,
a VR headset on.
Hadley.
You could walk through a field with a VR headset on. Yeah. And it's better than climb Mount Fuji.
Exactly.
I just come back from there and I was staring at the damn thing wondering how the bloody hell I got up it before. Got a really good view of it, but I'm kind of tempted to climb it this year with the run-up to the release of the book, right, which comes out in August. I was thinking of like climbing it and being like, bye bye book, on the summit. But then I read that there might be like an eruption this year, and my excitement and anticipation of climbing Mount Fuji has gone down very quickly.
Think of the money. Think of the interest, though. Come on. If you're caught in
a big... Think of the death.
Exactly. Think of the death.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, back in 2014, Mount Ontake, which is a mountain a few hundred kilometres sort of southwest of Fuji, did erupt. And there's some horrific footage. Unfortunately, some people lost their lives climbing it. And you can just see this huge, gigantic ash cloud towering hundreds of metres into the sky, just sweeping over the hikers. And, oh, my God, like it... I just don't want to get stuck in that situation. And I watched that documentary on Netflix about the folks that went to the volcanic island in New Zealand. Do you see that one that erupted?
No. Maybe I did.
It was in the news a few years ago, yeah. There was a documentary. So I'm looking at Mount Fuji like, oh. But the last time it erupted was 1707. And it's, you know.
What are the chances of that happening again? Come on.
You'd have to be pretty unlucky to have the day that it happened.
Yeah.
But think
of the hits. Think of the hits. Mana from heaven.
YouTube
you're
live
there.
Stream.
You're there. On the ground, so to speak.
I'm here on the summit of Mount Fuji, live on YouTube, as the people around me are incinerated, including myself. I don't know. Well, I'll probably still climb it. What the hell? Let's go.
Let's do it. Get on that vending machine.
Get up there, get to the vending machine. I mean, there's people up there selling sake as well. So
lovely.
Why not? I met a guy recently who he's a tea master and a Buddhist and an extremist, and he runs up it in 3 hours. He literally runs up Mount Fuji in 3 hours. He has a tea ceremony with his mates, and then he runs back down again. And it's like, God damn it. Took me like 12 hours to get up fucking Mount Fuji, and he just run up there for some
when
tea.
He was only halfway up, he was neither up nor down, etc.
But he had a lot of fucking moogie chair with him. We got a story this week from Stephanie.
Stephanie.
He says, hello, Kick-Ass Chris and Pirate Pete. I'm Stephanie from Belgium. My story happened when I visited Japan for the first time back in 2017, together with my former boyfriend and our friends. We decided to visit the Fushimi Inari Taisha shrines in Kyoto after dark, based on reviews about it being way less crowded and having a nice view from halfway up the hill. It is very nice up there. I think, Pete, you've been up there at night, right?
Beautiful. Beautiful, lovely, very chill.
Watch out for the wild boars, though. They're pretty violent. Part of the way up, it was spookily lit, and there's this eerie vibe which got us really excited. Seeing all the boar and monkey warning signs made us aware of our surroundings, but since we were a group of 5 20-year-olds with 3 boys, we felt pretty safe. But that all changed once we got to a clearing. We suddenly found ourselves surrounded by a horde of cats. It's not quite wild boar, but we started looking around for a possible reason. and spotted this single white human-looking figure about 20 metres away from us in the middle of the clearing. What would a person be doing here after dark, all alone, off the path? Why isn't he moving or acknowledging our presence? Oh. Our group stood there for a full 3 minutes, a little startled, staring at the figure to see if it would move, and debating if someone should go and look up at it close. We finally decided not to and sensibly walked on. Of course, after a few minutes, the boys regretted our decision and sneaked back up to investigate. Once returned to the cat clearing, they noticed a jingling sound, or what seemed to be some kind of tambourine, which made this scene even more frightening than it already was. They were looking in the direction of the person in white, who must be the one making the sound, when all of a sudden he let out a yell, after which the boys bolted down the path back down to us. After telling us what happened, we quickly made our way back down to civilization. We've looked all over for someone with a similar experience at the shrine, but never found anything like it. Was he performing some kind of religious ritual, or just being a good old crazy person? Yours truly, Stephanie, who... I mean, I don't know what to make of that story. I just sound like someone got drunk on a night out alone and went up the shrine.
I think that's all right, isn't it? You can choose to do whatever you want in the Inari Shrine as long as you're not bothering other people. I mean, that is probably bothering other people, isn't it? So, who knows?
Why... I mean, the only place that they have a tambourine is at karaoke. So I'm thinking somebody went out drunk, went to karaoke, stole the tambourine.
Went for a wander.
And just went up the shrines and then a karaoke session with the cats. I just like the idea of these cats just sitting there bewildered and in awe of the tambourine. But that's cats for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice up there. I don't think I've ever gone at night. You did, right? Did you climb all the way to the top?
No, we just went for a bit of a wander. I got a little bit lost.
Lazy.
Charlotte couldn't find me. I just ran up the hill for a bit.
It is lovely. It recently got ranked as one of the top like 10 must-see tourist destinations in the world.
Right. Okay.
So it is nice. Go there at dusk if you get the chance. Dusk or dawn when it's not so crowded.
Yeah.
We've got a story this week though. And it ain't about shrines. What's going on? Speaking of animals, what's the story of this week in Japan, Mr. Donaldson?
Well, last show, Chris was very upset about some meat he'd received on a skewer. He's a man who's spoiled.
Oh, it was awful.
Spoiled. Only
so
eating the very best A5 steak, this man. And whenever he's given anything, you know, a little bit closer to the pepperami end of the scale for all you
A5
British
pepperami.
Listeners. Beef jerky
A5
side of the
chicken.
Scale. He gets rather upset. But this new story from my Nietzsche Dr. JP from Kimchi to Insects, and Japan's love affair with vending machines continues, and at a Shinkansen station here, one machine is gaining popularity for another unusual, offering bear meat. You could buy bear meat at a train station in a vending machine. It's installed by the entrance of the Tazawako Ichi local product shop near JR Tazawako Station, where the Akita, Shinkansen and other trains stop. It's locally captured wild bears, mainly purchased by bullet train passengers that people want to travel far and wide from the Kanto region who want to buy it from mail order as well.
Jesus.
Lean and fatty meat. The vending machine is open 24 hours. You can have black bear meats, 250 grams for about $17, which is not a lot of meat, has to be said. But it's quite weird to sort of think of... like how you would, I guess, sort of eating bears. There's not that many around. Like sort of, you know, like abattoirs. You sort of can. You've got the idea of pigs. And apologies to people who eat meat. But you see pigs and cows, and they're, you know, they you know how to pair them away, and you're kind of familiar with that. You know, you got Rocky beating the shit out of half a cow or whatever. But like bear meat, it would seem. I don't think I'd want to see bears being taken apart, if indeed I want to see cows being taken apart. It's it's a bit much. Either way, the bears are captured in the mountains of the city by members of a local hunting club and processed at a slaughterhouse. The vending machine was installed in November 2022 by people associated with a restaurant, and the machine apparently sells 10 to 15 packs a week. Supplies sometimes run out because the bear hunting season is limited. Bear meat tastes clean, says one of the representatives, and it doesn't get tough even when cold. It can be enjoyed in a wide range of dishes, from stew to steaks. So you can ring 018743 3511 if you want to get some of that sweet bear meat, my friend.
unbearable.
Yeah.
I must say, I mean, that place in Akita is famous for its Matagi bear hunters, basically. Yeah. Because Akita is very, what's the opposite of dense? Not dense.
Soft.
Sparse.
Fluffy.
Sparsely populated. There's not that many people in Akita. And there's a lot of bears. And so there's quite a big bear hunting culture in sort of the northern regions of Akita and Aomori. And if you do have bear, more often than not, it is in those regions where I've had it as well. You know, I've eaten bear like 3 times. It is all right.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste that bad. It's kind of like it's like beef, basically. It's not bad. But I wouldn't really go out my way to eat it. I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, after sort of, there's so many sort of like health scare.
I like Paddington.
There's so many health scare.
Such a good film.
There's so many health scare sort of bad news stories in Japan at the moment. There was one quite recently about 2 men being arrested for using their own chopsticks to pick up the pickled ginger from a communal container in Yoshinoya in Osaka. They actually got arrested because they used their own chopsticks to pick up the communal, you know, that pink dyed ginger that you get. It's all vinegary. So you're supposed to pick it up, I think, somehow without getting it, using your own chopsticks, because
that's quite
bad. So these blokes, one of them did it as a joke, put it online, and then ended up being arrested for eating some ginger.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, like the old sushi restaurants have changed a lot. You know, gone are the days where sushi would just go round and round in circles on the track and you could pull it off. Now, it's made to order because people are dicking about, you know, taking the sushi off, messing around with it. Sometimes someone licked it, put it back on, that's not what you want.
Oh, dear God.
So, yeah, the game's changed in the world of sushi. Mm. But, yeah, bears, I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend eating it or going out your way to eat it. There might be the case if you go to a traditional inn in Nagano or Aomori, you might get served it, in which case, yeah, give it a try. It doesn't taste that bad. But just a bear meat vending machine. Where does it end, Pete? Where does the vending machine culture end?
Where does the bear end?
What is going to be in it? What's going to be the last thing you see in a vending machine?
It's shoes. Dirty shoes. You know, like sometimes you just see a shoe hanging off a wire in the street, or shoes just in the street, or a pair of dirty trousers in a tree. Just stuff like that, really.
I'm still waiting for Natsuki's vending machine. I'm seeing Natsuki in 2 weeks.
Oh, yes.
It was supposed to get in April, I think.
Coffee that's not really coffee. Amazing. Amazing hubris.
It's going to be good. It's 800 yen coffee that's made from tea and hasn't got caffeine in it. And it's Natsuki coffee. It's the product that you neither need nor want nor deserve.
Yeah.
And it's coming soon to a store near you. But until then, we'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What do we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Dolce?
Oh, I'm so jet lagged, Chris. I'm so sorry. Hey, dear categorical Chris, poignant Pete, and possibly significant Charla. Do you have any advice on how to manage money when visiting Japan? I plan on bringing some cash, as I understand this is pretty much essential. But do you have any experiences using services such as Revolut or Monzo? Or should I just stick to using my UK bank and checking that the fees aren't going to bankrupt me? Ryan and Alex, Chris, I'm not very good at this sort of thing because I just take hits left, right and centre. I never know whether to buy something in the local currency. I think that's the thing to do. I never know what I'm getting being screwed on the taken out money fees and stuff. So I'm very much... Petey needs a beer, so Petey's going to just press the buttons on the machine to make the money come out and have the beer. The beer tokens, if you will. So, yeah, I'm very much like, I'm pretty chill about the whole thing, but then I waste a lot of money doing it.
I thought we established last week, Petey just takes the water and doesn't pay.
That's right, I've started stealing things.
He was jet lagged. It was all right. Don't worry about it. He needs Reveille.
Forgot about
that.
Steal.
That's the real Reveille. The real revolutions. Pete Dawson.
Yeah.
Honestly, Ryan, I don't have a clue. Because I'm lucky, right? I have a Japanese bank and a British bank, and both are pretty bad. I just use your British bank card. But I'd always carry some cash on you in Japan. Lots of places still don't accept cards. I was only at a restaurant the other day and I didn't have any money and they didn't like my card. Luckily I was with someone. I made them sort of sit there in the chair at gunpoint at the restaurant while I ran off down the street to try and get some money out of the ATM. Bring cash on you. But yeah, fees, I'm not your man. I don't know the first thing about it. Bring some cash.
If you're in London, I used to get cracking on for a grand, to be honest, in cash from the House of... Now, completely gone. Near the Apple Store, there is a sort of like a weird European / Chinese / Japanese sort of department store, and it's called the House of Hottinger or something. I can't remember, but it's maybe Dutch or something.
Is this a real place?
And on the first floor, on the ground floor rather, there is a Bureau de Change, and they always historically did the best rates for Japanese yen. I've no idea why, but they just always seem to have a decent rate on it. So I always used to go there. So behind the Apple Store, there's a little road. I forget what it is. Apple Store. Mayfair.
I remember I brought back some Japanese yen once and to the UK, and they thought I was like a criminal because I brought back a load of cash rather than doing like a bank transfer.
Right, okay,
I brought back like quite a lot of cash and yeah, they made me like sign a waiver that I wasn't a bank robber or something. Because it's just like not normal.
It was the House of Hanover, because it's on Hanover Street, that's why.
Oh, right.
That's why. But they always seem to have pretty decent rates. But, you know, just check a Go Compare site, I guess.
Yeah, you'll be fine, Ryan.
You'll be all right.
Good luck.
You'll be all right.
Best of luck. Have a good trip. Hello, Piplup. What the hell's that?
Not a clue.
Piplup Pete and Chimchar Chris. I'm going to Japan in June with a few friends for a post-graduation trip. My question is, how should I ask for someone to take our photo in Japanese? James from Florida. See, I could teach you, but I honestly think it would be... You could just say the word shashin. Like, shashin means photo.
Yeah. I helped my mate Mark. There's a legendary wrestler called Aja Kong, who wrestled, I think, in the 80s and the 90s. And she's one of the few, like, she's like a Japanese female wrestler, but she's a monster. She's like one of those big wrestlers who beats the shit out of everyone. And my mate Mark wanted a picture, but yeah, so shashin is just a really easy way of kind of going, yeah. Picture!
You can just be like, oh, shimasen, like, excuse me. I don't, shashin onegai shimasu. Like, take a photo, please. You know, usually if you just hold your camera out, people in Japan, they have a very big sort of photo-taking culture.
Yeah.
People are very nice. Like, they'll often see if you're trying to take a selfie, someone will walk over and be like, oh, I can take it for you.
When I actually last learnt a bit of Japanese, shushin is hometown, isn't it? And shashin is camera.
Yes.
Or picture. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Shushin is like, hometown.
And hometown is and shashin is photograph. The video game that I was talking about a little while ago, Shashin Go. Shashin Go is
take a photo of your hometown. The video game.
I think they put it on. I think they put it on old Kickstarter. I think they've managed to make all their stretch goals. So expect that game coming sooner rather than later. I think so. It's good news, isn't it? It's just one of those ideas that really. It's just a really good idea. Really, it's just a nice way of.
Wait, what was the idea?
Learning a bit of
Japanese.
Video game? I think you would sort of. You think you've got to go around the town taking pictures of different objects, like a tomato or some vegetables, and in that you learn a bit of Japanese. I think that's how it goes. But, I mean, more than anything else, the graphics look absolutely tip-top and just a really cutesy, kind of cool kind of rendition of Japan and stuff. You know, just post boxes and stuff. So, yeah, really interesting.
What's
stuff.
It called again?
Shashin Go,
we
I think.
To look it up.
Shashin Go.
Shashin Go. There you go.
Which makes sense,
yeah,
I suppose.
There you go. I'd just say, truthfully, you'd be like, oh, shashin totte moraimasu ka is the full phrase. But
shashin!
Yeah, you don't need that. Yeah, Ryotaro's job, right? Ryotaro, everyone asks me, what's Ryotaro's job?
Yeah.
He does inbound, outbound tourism, and he sort of helps people come to Japan and whatnot. But he also helps Japanese companies adapt to sort of foreign tourists.
Yeah.
And I used to go to his seminars where he'd stand in front of a room of 50 sort of shy-looking shopkeepers in rural towns across North Japan, and he would teach them not to use any English. He would teach them this sort of really perverse, weird Japanese English.
All right.
And encourage them to be like, oh, number one best, you try. Each delicious. And it's
that's
just
why
like,
they talk like
it's
that.
It's helping
then.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so... And then you'll be in this position when you're like, oh, daijoubu, I don't know, nihongo karimasu, or like, I can speak Japanese. They'll be like, no, number one best.
Number
and they just
one
keep
best.
Speaking this
you
perverse
buy.
English.
Yeah.
They won't... There are some people in Japan that you'll speak Japanese and they'll just keep speaking English in this sort of broken way.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. It's Ryotaro. He's done it. It's his fault.
Good stuff.
But just do that. Do that, James. Just be like, photo, please take. Yes. Oh. Mm. And see what happens.
Yeah.
You'll be
great.
Fine. And, you got one from Keith.
Yeah, sorry. Before you go into Keith, Piplup and Chimchar are apparently, I just did a little Google, Pokemon.
Yeah. Okay. I was the generation
after
me.
We knew that, didn't we?
I remember the original
ones. We
knew,
didn't we, Chris? We knew. We're cool.
I remember the first 150 Pokemon, and I don't need to know anymore.
Right.
Beyond the first generation. we've got Aloha, Chris and Pete. I recently moved to Honolulu. Lucky bastard. And I was surprised to see a strong Japanese influence here. Your friend Joey recently visited my workplace. Huh. You what? Despite desperately wanting to chat with Dr. Jelly himself, I decided to leave him alone because I didn't want to bother him while he was on vacation.
Good on you.
I was wondering, do you like being approached by fans or would you prefer people respect your privacy? All the best, Keith. Well, Keith, what the hell was Joey doing? Where do you work? I know he's been in Hawaii the last week on a convention called Kauai Con or Hawaii Con.
Hawaii Kauai. Very
Kauai
comfortable trousers.
Hawaii.
Very comfortable clever. Trousers. Wearing like those kind of like very long kind of like flowing Hawaiian kind of clothes. I think he was, that might just be his normal clothes. I don't know, but I just saw a picture of him with some kind of statues, and I went, they look nice. I wish I'd get away with them. I wish I was cool.
He's almost as fashionable and or shadow as you are, Pete. Mm. He's almost there.
Yeah,
but you're better
nearly.
Still.
Yeah,
you're more refined. You've
true
got
that.
Refined appearance. I just wear a black top and some jeans and pretend to be Steve Jobs, and that's worked for me.
Yeah.
But I've been approached by fans, I think, 6 times today alone. Now that like life's back to normal,
yeah,
it's off the charts. Everyone's nice. I felt bad, like I was on my way to get my hair cut the other day in Sendai. And I ran past the hotel, and there's a guy coming out. And he went, "Is that the great Chris Broad?" And I went, "Yes." And he's on his way to get his hair cut, and carried on walking. It was quite a friendly interaction. I've had moments like that. And I nearly missed my train the other day because someone at Sendai Station said, "Well, Chris," and I went, "Oh, hello." Oh, yeah. And he got his phone out, and I like stopped and got a photo. I almost missed my bullet train, but like, it's fine. I like doing it. It all hinges on the person. Sometimes people come over and they're shaking. And you get a real sense of, what's it called, imposter syndrome. And someone's like shaking when they meet you. You're like, okay, what have I done to deserve this? Like, you know, I'm not Jesus. Well, we can't be sure.
I'm not Jesus, but I have the same initials.
But like, you know, when someone's shaking when they meet you, it's like, oh my goodness, like, this is cool. But yeah. But like, no, just come over, say hello. I like people that are nice on the point, get the photo. Sometimes I do signatures. I did one signature the other day, and it's kind of awkward, but I don't mind doing it. Photos are better, aren't they?
They are.
If I met Ken Watanabe, which I did, forgot about that, I want a photo and a documentary, not a signature.
Yeah.
Signatures go in the cupboard, photos go on the wall, and that's the way it should be. That's all for now, though, guys. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in. Before that, Pete...
Yo.
What should they do? What should a listener do if they run into you?
Just grab my testicles as hard as you can, and just squeeze and squeeze and squeeze until I'm screaming and crying, bleeding from my eyelids. And yeah, that's right. Really, that's usually how most people go about it. Or you know, just say hello.
It's how certain actors got cancelled recently.
I'm not the aggressor. They're doing it.
They're doing it, mate. But for now, guys, have yourself a great few days. We'll be right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.